At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at River Ranch, Dayton. Here's Paul Gallant.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on a Friday, gotta get down on Friday, April 4th in the year of our Lord, 2025. I am Paul Gallant. This is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You heard Mr. Voice Guy himself say it. The phone number, or on YouTube or on Twitch, at ESPN Houston on the tube, on Twitch at ESPN 975. That's how you jump aboard. And guess what? It's Friday. That means ask Paul Gallant anything. You could ask him, hey, Paul, why are you speaking to you about yourself in the third person? And I will answer that question by saying, I rule. How about that? Also, we are here at a very cool place. We're at River Ranch Dayton. And unfortunately, due to the wind and because had I seen this, I definitely would have just bailed on the show mid-show. There's a swim-up bar and a lagoon here at this fantastic place. I would have just abandoned the show. You know, I would have just gone and had some pina coladas at the swim up bar. There's restaurants here, pickleball courts, concerts. This is a fantastic community and it's got everything you need. And if you want to get out of the bustle of the city, it's fantastic with prices from 250 grand to the low 500s. RiverRanch.com for more information. Lots of stuff going on in the world of sports. Our beloved Cougs take on the evil Duke Blue Devils on Saturday. We've also got the Astros back in the win column and a day off today because in Minnesota they have to schedule random days off just in case it snows out. That's a real thing. God, it must be miserable to live in that godforsaken wasteland. But you want to weigh in on the Astros offense finally waking up? Home runs? What are those? Christian Walker, he had a home run. Then he did a finger gun thing afterwards. I'm hoping that baseball's not going to crack down on him the same way they're cracking down on John Moran. Jeremy Pena hit a home run, and then some very rude Twins fans. I thought all Canadians were polite, but this Canadian, I'm assuming he's Canadian, it's Minnesota, same thing. This guy decided to throw Jeremy Pena's home run ball back onto the field at Target Field, and then gave two birds to everybody who was watching. Think about the children, he didn't. But really, the Cougs and Duke. It's time for vengeance. What happened last year was a tragedy. Jamal Shedd having his ankle stepped on. I mean, there's more investigation into that rando on Duke last year who had a crowd member, you know, bump chests with him than there was into what was a disgusting act by a clearly dirty Duke Blue Devils squad. Oh, Devils? Interesting. Now, that's their nickname. What happened in that game was a tragedy, and it's time for vengeance. It's time for the Cougs to finally get over the hump, make it to a national championship game under Kelvin Sampson, and eventually take it home. So, listen, if you've got some haterade for the Duke Blue Devils on today's show, it's welcome all show long on the most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in with it on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. There's a lot of healthy respect between the Cougs and Duke. I'll be honest, I'm not here for it. I'm not. I don't play that. F Duke. But here's Kelvin Sampson, classier man than me, head coach of our beloved Cougs, saying that he's got a great deal of respect for Duke's new head coach, John Shire, who replaced, of course, Coach Mike Krzyzewski.
I'll tell you how good John Shire's been. Nobody talks about him replacing Coach K anymore. He's John Shire. He's got his team in the Final Four. I think that speaks volumes of him. Good for him.
I'll be honest, though, as basketball casual, college basketball casual, I do not feel that way. This is Coach K's replacement. This is Coach K's replacement who happens to have Cooper Flagg, okay? So Kelvin Sampson, he's showing respect. Doesn't want to give the Duke Blue Devils any bulletin board material, but I don't respect Duke. I don't. John Shire, who's he? Who is he? Truly. Then on top of that, Duke's trying to, you know, grease the Cougs up a little bit. You hear this comment from John Shire in San Antonio about how much he respects our beloved Cougs.
Playing Houston, we understand what an amazing challenge this game will be. Look, for me, year one when I got the coaching job at Duke, you're trying to figure out who to scrimmage and what you can do. And we sought out scrimmaging Houston. And that was the respect that I had for Coach Sampson, Houston's program, what they stand for. And, you know, to be here competing against them, it's an honor. But couldn't be more proud of our team. We're taking it all in and excited at the same time. So I'll let you guys ask any questions, but I just want to comment on Coach Sampson and his team, and just the culture that they've had is something that I looked at right away when I became the head coach. And we're ready for the challenge.
Well, maybe one day John Shire can be an assistant coach for Coach Kelvin Sampson. You know, he's talking about it like that. When Duke inevitably blows him out because he can't live up to the coach who was ahead of him, Mike Krzyzewski, who claims he's never dyed his hair black. BS. I'm going to call complete BS on that. Like, I might have to start dyeing my hair soon because my hair is getting pretty gray. Oh, this guy who's like 85 effing years old, he doesn't have any grays whatsoever, dyeing his hair black. That's a performance-enhancing drug, in my opinion. Okay, so this guy's stepping in for Coach K. And, you know, Duke, they are who they are. They can't help themselves. It's just a bunch of arrogant a-holes. For the most part, they're just not going to, I would imagine, accept John Shire. So when Kelvin Sampson takes him out and Duke gets on John Shire's case, you're not Coach K, then he can come be an assistant, I think, for the Cougs at some point down the road. Only if he wants it, though, you know, only if he wants it. And it seems like he wants it. Talking about how he wanted to have a scrimmage against the Cougs before the year began. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. I looked this up on Google. Reasons to hate Duke. I got to say, I did not expect artificial intelligence to come up with 9 to 10 bullet points right away. These are the reasons that per AI on Google, people dislike Duke. People dislike Duke due to its perceived elitism, strong basketball program, and the, quote, Cameron crazies, end quote, fan base, as well as the university's history of recruiting top players and winning championships, which can be seen as an unfair advantage. Hell yeah, AI. Here's a more detailed breakdown of reasons why Duke is often perceived negatively. Perceived elitism and arrogance. Academic and social standing. This is part of the subheading under number one of a three-point treatise. Duke is a prestigious and expensive university, which some perceive as an elite institution, leading to a sense of superiority among some students and alumni. Here's the thing, though. Lots of T-shirt Duke fans. Lots of them. And I get it. They win all the time. But it is interesting the amount of T-shirt Duke fans because, you know, hey, there's a lot of T-shirt Texas fans here in this state. There's a lot of T-shirt Texas A&M fans, I would imagine, as well. But there's definitely more T-shirt Texas fans in Texas than there are T-shirt Texas A&M fans. But Duke has a lot. And, I mean, very few people can get into Duke. I don't think I would have gotten into Duke had I applied to it. Now you're great. And I'm better than you mentality. Some fans of rival programs feel Duke's players, coaches, and fans take too much pride in the school's academic reputation, which comes across as arrogance, dorks. Social scene. While Duke has a vibrant social life, it can sometimes prioritize image over substance, which some find superficial. I find that more believable at SMU than at Duke. I think that's more of an SMU thing. Could be wrong there. Two, reasons that people hate Duke, per artificial intelligence on Google. Winning tradition, recruiting top players, Cameron crazies, and Christian Laettner. The 1992 game-winning buzzer beater by Laettner against Kentucky is a recurring symbol of Duke's success and a source of much animosity for some fans. Yeah, but people hate Kentucky too. Huh. Artificial intelligence isn't really selling me on the hate of Duke. Cost and debt. The high cost of tuition and living expenses can lead to significant student debt, which some view as a negative aspect of attending Duke. Well, that's all colleges these days. They're all just robbing you blind. Durham, North Carolina, another factor to hate Duke. while charming, may lack the cosmopolitan flair of larger cities. Well, here's the thing, though. That makes Dukes more blue-collar. This could restrict networking opportunities. More reasons to hate Duke. Competitive environment. The pressure to succeed academically and athletically can create a stressful and competitive environment. Oh, as people offer themselves like it's Cornell or something like that? I don't know about that. Cultural homogeneity. Who knows if I said that right. I definitely couldn't get into Duke based off of me trying to pronounce that word. Duke has been criticized for its demographic makeup, with some arguing that a more diverse intellectual environment is conducive to innovative thinking. Interesting. I don't know how that plays in 2025, given things that have happened here in our country. But, hey, guys, it's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Cougs Duke, Saturday night, S-A-G-U-R-D-A-Y, night. Duke, evil. Cougs, good. Duke, Satan. They're even called the Blue Devils. Cougs, Jesus? We'll see. You want to jump in on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975, on an Ask a Lot Anything Friday. You can ask me any question. And guess what, guys? I will work it into the show. Because that's what we do here. We talk to you, the people. From the 832, Duke wins by 6. You've been blocked. You've been blocked. You'll never again be able to communicate with the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Cougs by 8,000 points. Up next, the Astros offense. Did it get back on track? Are you feeling better about it? 1 through 5 on the Astros confidence scale. Where are you at after a 5-run explosion yesterday? We'll discuss. It's the Paul Gallant Show. And don't forget, we are live at River Ranch Dayton, which has this amazing lagoon with a swim-up bar in it. There's restaurants here. There's pickleball courts and homes available from $250,000 to the low 500s. Go to riverranch.com for more information. Stick around. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Listening to the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at River Ranch Dayton. Here's Paul Gallant.
That's right. We are live at River Ranch Dayton. If you've ever been here before, well, you should. It's fantastic. There's a huge lagoon. Sadly, a little too windy to do the show out by the lagoon today, which I would have been frequenting the swim-up bar that they have there. Nothing better than a swim-up bar. The world needs more swim-up bars. Why don't we have more of these? Why don't we have more of these in Houston? Why don't we have a lagoon in Houston? But you can come out to Dayton with the swim-up bar here at the lagoon. You got restaurants, pickleball courts, concerts. There's a fitness center that's coming here soon. If you want to get homes here, they're priced from $250,000 to the low 500s. You can get it with a low interest rate and closing cost assistance. Go to riverranch.com for more information on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. People are asking, is it a blue lagoon? No, it's turquoise. Yeah, that's right. I said turquoise. It looks fantastic. On an Ask Gallant Anything Friday from the 281, someone asks, am I still blocked by Barry Laminack? I don't know. I feel like that's only when J-Bone's out, old Jer Bear. Another texter asks from the 903, Paul, are you a bigger Syracuse fan or Cougs fan? I mean, the answer is obvious. Bigger Cougs fan. I'm the biggest Cougs fan in the city of Houston. Jumping on the bandwagon shows that I am more of a Cougs fan than the average Coug out there. And it's fine. I mean, listen, some people, they can't handle the truth. But, yeah, who else went on Amazon.com and purchased a Cougs beanie hat for $22.99? Who else did that before the start of the NCAA tournament? And who else has been wearing that despite having a fantastic head of hair? I've been wearing that hat out and about, looking borderline like a furry in public. And I have been wearing it shamelessly, despite my beautiful head of hair, because I care about the Cougs. Jeremy Branham, oh, he's a kook. No, they pay him to call the games.
Oh, we went to the university, Paul. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And guess what? I didn't do that. And I don't really have a counter argument to that side of things, other than I jumped on the Cougs bandwagon and left an all-time basketball program's fan base, the Syracuse Orange, where I went there. And I froze in the winter for 4 years, and I suffered. And I decided, you know what? No, I'm a Coug. I'm a Coug at heart. I like Cougars. First off, I like cats. Second off, you know. So there you go. 713-780-3776 to call in or text in on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. From the 281, what do you think about the Astros starting to use torpedo bats next week? Well, they should have done it already, but guess what? And I don't know if it's too early to do something that we probably did an insufferable amount of times last year given the Astros' slow start. But, guys, the Astros are 1-0 in games that matter. They're 1-0 in the American League to open up the year. On top of that, guys, guess what? The Astros are 1-0 against teams that were in first place when they played them in the American League. Because the Giants are in first place now. The Giants are off to a 5-1 start. They look pretty good. But technically, the Twins were in a five-way tie for first place in the American League Central yesterday. Because everyone in the division was 2-4. So Astros are 1-0 in the American League, and they're 1-0 against first-place teams. I don't know if...
Actually, 2-0, Paul. The Mets were in a five-way tie on opening day.
That's true. On opening day, that's right. Yeah. So they have to play teams that are in first place. So they're 2-0 against teams that are in first place. All right, appreciate that feedback. Thank
you. You're
welcome. And yesterday, we actually saw some offense. That was neato, huh? That was splendid. The Astros built for this? So, first off, let's talk about the offense. Christian Walker, all that hard-hitting exit velo, he finally bombed one. 402 feet into the upper deck of Target Field. He smoked that one. That was nice to see because it's been kind of frustrating to open up the year wondering, wait, when's the power going to show up? Because the Astros do have guys that have power historically. Yordan Alvarez, of course, who's off to quite the slump. And Jose Altuve, too, who didn't have a great day. He was 0-for-5 with, what, 5 strikeouts? We call that, guys, a cold sombrero. Get it? Because it was 40 degrees outside and it was cold. Anyway, Christian Walker gets the home run, trots around the bases, and at one point he did a little finger gun movement. And got to say, not a fan of that. Not a fan of that. You got to think about the children. What are the children thinking when they saw Christian Walker with his finger guns? Were they thinking like with Ja Morant, who seems to be protesting that the NBA is investigating a finger gun incident that he had against the, was it the Golden State Warriors? Now there's another finger gun incident going on. This is a fantastic story. I just love where we're at in sports these days, where in the NFL they're going to cut down on, you know, using guns to celebrate, invisible fake guns. But Ja Morant, in a 110-108 win over the Miami Heat, after a warning earlier this week about a shooting gun with your finger celebration, he did it again. He did it again last night. And I guess Christian Walker is doing the same thing. But people are coming after Ja Morant. Now, with Ja Morant, I get it. Like, he's addicted to videos online, going on Instagram Live with a pistol and, you know, showing it off. Like, it's a problem. He had to go to Florida to deal with that addiction. He actually went to a retreat to work on that. But don't you think it's ridiculous in 2025 that Ja Morant's facing down, you know, real potential punishments from the NBA as a black man in the United States of America, and Christian Walker can just go around the bases like he's Shooter McGavin, and that's fine? I think that's crazy. Anyway, Paul, you're talking too much about finger guns. I'm just saying Christian Walker did finger guns. Right after Christian Walker went yard, Jeremy Pena had a home run too. Oh, Jeremy Pena. He's got two home runs? Interesting. Let's do a little math here. Is this about to be a huge year for Jeremy Pena from a power perspective? Because think about it, okay? So, you know, we've played 7 games, 7 divided by 162, right? So he's averaging, what is he averaging? Jeremy Pena is averaging 2 home runs every single...
3.5 games. Or 1 home run every 3.5.
So, yes, hang on. Let's do a little math here. 162.
Wish we had Joe here for this.
This would be helpful, Joe doing the math, because then I won't seem as dumb. Because Joe is slightly worse than me at math. Sorry, Joe, who's still a part of the station. So 162 divided by 7. Okay, so 23 that times 2. Jeremy Pena is on pace for 46 home runs this year. And I don't think the world's ready to handle
that.
That's
just math.
But that's math right there. Jeremy Pena, he's got 2 home runs to open up the season. And they, those people in Minnesota, they hate Jeremy Pena. They hate him because they ain't him. They're not as hot as him, right? They're not dating a soccer player, which is who Jeremy Pena is dating now, you know, with his huge vascular biceps, right? And I know all these women in Houston are upset. Have my babies, Jeremy! They all said to him at the 2022 Astros World Series parade. But no, he's taken, and now he is taking it to the next level from a power hitter perspective.
So. You know what this is? Have you seen the movie Substance?
I have not seen the movie Substance.
Well, you know the premise of it? Is where it, like, you take a pill and you basically shed your current skin into a younger, hotter version of yourself.
This sounds like Limitless, but it's different, B-Man?
Yeah, this is a movie with Demi Moore sometime in the last year.
Oh, the one with Demi Moore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think that's what the Twins fans are mad at. They're seeing the older version, Carlos Correa, and then the younger, hotter version, Jeremy Pena's coming in there. It's like, look, hey, we got the younger, hotter version.
Hell
you got
yeah,
the old
dude.
And busted version. Good luck with that.
Let's go, everybody.
So this situation, Demi Moore is Carlos Correa? I don't know. I'm still working out the analogy.
Yeah, but I'm not sure either, but I like this.
Okay.
I like this.
Right.
I also like Demi Moore. She's a strong, powerful, independent woman. 713
Cougar. You like
780-3776 to call in the Texans. That's right. She is a Cougar, and our beloved Cougs take on the Duke Blue Devils on Saturday for a chance to play in the national championship. You want to jump in on an Ask Alon Anything Friday, you can at 713-780-3776. It's how you call. It's how you text. The HRNP listener line. You can also join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. From the 832, Paul, I'm a proud Texas Tech alum. Our thing is the guns up hand gesture, and no one's ever batted an eye to that. That is true, and honestly, that's. I mean, I'm not asking for, you know, the G-men to crack down on our fine Texas Tech Red Raider brethren. I'm not asking for that, but it is kind of ridiculous that John Morant got fined $75,000 for a finger gun pointing after he got a warning in the week. I mean, I get it because he got the warning. They had to crack down on it. Another text on an Ask Alon Anything Friday. On swim trunks, inner lining net or no lining net? So I used to be a no lining guy, but here's the thing, guys, especially since we are here at Ranch River Dayton, which has a swim-up bar and a lagoon, which is awesome. Now, the lagoon's cool. I really like the swim-up bar more, but the lagoon is also awesome. Here's the thing. Wearing short bathing suits is in now. I remember at first, and I think like a lot of people that are my age, you used to be of the mindset that if your shorts didn't go past your knee, people would think you're gay. This is a thing. I don't know why it was a thing. It always sucked because if you were in gym class and you had mandatory, uniform that you had to wear for gym class, I feel like for whatever reason back in the day, you always ended up with some nut huggers. Like you had the shortest shorts as a guy. I hated that. It was embarrassing. You know, I didn't have powerful, strong thighs the way that I do now or a donk, you know? So it sucked. But now bathing suits, you want them to be short. So I say nets because since my bathing suits are a little shorter, I'm not talking like, you know, banana hammocks or anything like that. I'm not even talking like, you know, like really high-cut boxer briefs. I'm talking like 5.5-inch inseams. What I'm trying to say, though, is that, you know, if you have really short ones and you don't have a net, then, you know, some stuff might fall out. You don't want the stuff to fall out. You'll get called for sexual harassment, you know? So there you go. It's an Ask Alon Anything Friday. You can ask me any question. I'll work it into the show. 713-780-3776 to call into text in from the 832. Why do guys from Syracuse always get jobs in Houston? Well, there's not as many left now. I'm the last one. Because, yeah, there was Mike Meltzer. I followed Mike Meltzer. Meltzer got hired a couple years before me because he went to the school at the same time as me. Then Nick Wright got hired. Nick was only here for a little bit. I know Howard Chen was at 610 for a little bit. I know Sam Warren's at the Houston Chronicle currently right now. Listen, it's the best sports broadcasting school in the country. That's why we get hired everywhere. It's not just here. We can't help who we are, you know? I just went to the school. I'm not an evil Duke Blue Devil. So how about that? Speaking of the Cougs and Duke, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. There is a hilarious movement that is designed to stop the biggest curse in the history of Texas sports. Will it stop this man from attending Saturday's Cougs-Duke game? We hope so. You'll hear about it on the other side on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. It is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 live from River Ranch, Dayton.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at River Ranch, Dayton. Here's Paul Gallant.
That's right. We're at River Ranch, Dayton. It's got a huge lagoon with a swim-up bar. There's restaurants. There's pickleball courts. Concerts are going to be here. There's going to be a fitness center here. You can get homes from $250,000 to the low 500s. You want more information, go to riverranch.com with low interest rates, closing cost assistance as well. It's a very cool place. We're happy to be out here. And you got to see the Angel Lagoon. There's white sand beaches and turquoise water. I mean, you can't get that anywhere in Texas, because sadly, if you go to a Galveston beach, you're going to get eaten by flesh-eating bacteria. You don't want that. I don't want that personally, but I do like this. And really, I'm talking too much about the swim-up bar and being told, Paul, you sound like an alcoholic on the air. Well, we are what we are, okay? We are what we are. Anyway, hey, guys, we got to make sure that this happens. I don't know how many people are aware of the fact that when Texas Senator Ted Cruz goes to a Texas sporting event, generally, the Texas team that he is dressed up rooting for loses. I think the record is now 3-14, which is alarming. It's a very random thing that keeps on happening, but he goes to these games. He's trying to, you know, root for teams that are part of his voting base. I get why he's doing it. You know, all politicians pander just a little bit, but it's, for whatever reason, these sport teams have horrible luck whenever Ted Cruz is in attendance. So there is a petition on change.org that is urging Ted Cruz to do this instead of going to the Cougs game against Duke in San Antonio tomorrow, or the national championship, say the Cougs beat Duke and advance to the national title. This petition reads, as passionate sports fans of the University of Houston and Texas constituents, we want to redirect Ted Cruz's energies somewhere more effective during the Final Four in San Antonio. I guess there was a filibuster record set by Senator Cory Booker earlier this week, which is pretty impressive. I think he spoke for like a day straight. Honestly, some of these filibusters, I am impressed. Like, do you go to the bathroom in the middle of it? Do you just pee in the middle of the floor? What if you got to go twosies? What if you're thirsty? What if you're hungry? I don't know. But what I do know is that this change.org petition, since Ted Cruz is a bad omen for the teams that he publicly roots for, should instead focus his attention to a filibuster. And this is a guy who's done a good filibuster before. In 2013, he had a 21-hour filibuster. So, with tip-off for Houston and Duke, 7:49 tomorrow, people are hoping that Ted Cruz will redirect his energy. The petition says, quote, we firmly believe that Senator Cruz's ego is enormous, and if applied at an alternate time and place, it could make a significant impact on our state and the University of Houston's athletic prospects. By advocating for this cause, we're not just encouraging Senator Cruz to make history, but more importantly, we're giving him a chance to use his oratory skills far from San Antonio and the Final Four. I think it's fun. I think if we can all unify as a state about anything, it's that we do not want Ted Cruz rooting for our favorite teams. Like, forget the politics side of it, okay? Left and right, blah, 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 blah. No one wants Ted Cruz rooting for their team. It's been bad luck. No one wants it.
For so many teams, too. It's been the Aggies,
yep.
Which he went there. It's been for the Longhorns. He didn't even go there.
Yep.
It's been for the Astros.
Yep.
I'm sure I'm missing a few.
Rangers, he's done it before.
Oh, he did it to the Rangers?
Okay. I think it actually might have worked for the Rangers.
I mean, we could have used him in 2023 if he did it for the Rangers.
But. Exactly. Like, maybe he picked one side or the other for that one, but no, this is a man. Who?
Someone's got the record out there. I don't remember what it was, but it was something astronomical.
Yeah, it was 3-14.
Oh,
last
3-14.
I checked.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's insane. So the man must be stopped. We can't have him in attendance.
If he insists upon going to the game, can we at least implore him to wear Duke colors?
I mean,
would that reverse the jinx?
Since he did go to Yale, which is, you know, an insufferable institution. Yeah, it's not like Harvard is like very blue collar, you know. It's very blue collar. Like
you're just saying that because it's in Boston?
No, I'm saying my sister went to Harvard.
Okay.
So,
there it is.
So people who went to Harvard are like really like blue collar, hardworking people, and people who went to Yale are
blue collar cake eaters.
You know, yeah, they're. I mean, I don't want to call them bad people, but or terrorists or anything like that. But can they be trusted? People that went to Yale, like Ted Cruz? No, not really. But anyway, Theodore, big fan. Okay. You know, you had the filibuster record in 2013. It's been broken. I appreciate a good filibuster. Many would argue that my entire show is just a filibuster for the Killer Bees. Listen, people want you to not go to this game, okay? So just don't. Please just don't. That's all. 713-780-3776 to call into text and on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. I don't know if he's going to pay attention to a change.org petition. But no one wants that. From the 281, bet the entire ranch on Duke if Ted Cruz is at the Final Four. Automatic money. Everyone's in agreement on this.
Maybe we could get Ted Cruz to come out here and spend his day at the
River Ranch
at the Swim Up Bar.
Yeah.
That'll keep him away from the Final Four.
That would be fun. And honestly, I think someone – like Ted has to be aware of this.
Oh,
everyone makes this
point,
joke
yeah.
online. Like one of his interns has to have told him, like, hey, man, like – everyone hates when you wear their school colors. And we're talking even your supporters. Like, just stop. Just don't do it. And I feel like he's going to be tempted to do it. And maybe he's just a really good troll. Maybe it's an elaborate bit to him. But, yeah, don't want that to happen. I have no idea if he's in San Antonio right now. I really do not. I hope that he's not. Someone from the 832 says, it sounds like the Drake curse. No, the Ted Cruz curse is literally worse. From the 936, can we stop by and see y'all today at River Ranch? I live around the corner from there. We are in a model home right now because things are very windy. We might be back out at the lagoon a little bit later, but I don't know that's going to happen because I feel like there's rain on the horizon. It's supposed to rain at like 2, 3. That wouldn't exactly be great for the equipment, but we will be here until 6. The Killer Bees are going to be coming up next, hanging out here. On an Ask Alon Anything Friday. You can ask any questions, 713-780-3776 to call, to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Is it better to have a guy go 1-for-4 with 3 strikeouts and a home run, or 1-for-1 with 3 walks but no home runs? Oh, I think it's 1-for-1 with 3 walks. I mean, I don't know how many RBIs might be happening on that home run, so like really he would have to have a grand slam, but no, if you're getting on base and you have a single, you're on base 4 times, your on-base percentage is 1,000. Like, that's ultimately what it's all about. You want to be a good teammate. You want to set up the hitters behind you for, you know, some run production. From the 936, Eric the Driver points out, Ted Cruz is Canadian. And that's true. He was born there. From the 281, need Ted Cruz to be a Chiefs fan, ASAP. Yeah, but that's tricky. Like, he could wear a Texas Tech Patrick Mahomes jersey. But, I mean, he is representing the great state of Texas. From the 832, someone tell Ted Cruz that an ice storm is coming. Well, fly to Mexico for there. There you go. All right, it is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call, to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. We're hanging out at River Ranch Dayton on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Up next, you know, Texas teams are down bad when Ted Cruz wears their uni, their colors. But this team is down bad without any help from the Ted Cruz curse. And this week, things got a little bit more dicey for them. Who am I talking about? You'll find out on the other side. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
ESPN
97.5.
It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at River Ranch Dayton. Here's Paul Gallant.
Yes, that's right. We are at River Ranch Dayton. This place is sick. It's a new community in Dayton, and it's built around a turquoise lagoon with actual beaches around it, and a poolside swim-up bar in the middle of it. I guess it's not poolside, because it's middle of the lagoon bar. It's really cool. You got to check it out. And if you're looking for a home that's maybe outside the hustle and bustle of H-Town, they've got some great homes here. We're in a model home right now. It looks really nice, with prices from $250,000 to the low $500,000s. It's got restaurants, pickleball courts. Concerts are going to be here. There's going to be a fitness center, a community elementary school, and there's all sorts of great incentives too. You can get a low interest rate or closing cost assistance. You just got to go to riverranch.com for more information, or you can come out here and check it out for yourself. It is really cool. Very, very cool spot. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975 on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. The last segment we were talking about with the Cougs playing Duke on Saturday, we were talking about how there is a Ted Cruz curse and that a change.org petition has been filled out so that Ted Cruz does not show up in San Antonio at the Alamo Dome for this big showdown, especially not showing up wearing Cougs gear. From the 281, someone tell Ted Cruz the Dodgers need him. No. Here's the thing. He only reps Texas teams, and he reps a lot of Texas teams. But I think the record is like 3-14 whenever Ted Cruz represents one of those teams. I think somebody's keeping the track of the number online. I have to do a little more research to get the specific number. But it's bad enough where, I mean, you would be a potential top 10 draft pick in the NFL with the amount of times that Ted Cruz has been bad luck for Texas professional teams and Texas universities who happen to play sports. From the 281, the Cougars have appeared in 26 NCAA tournaments. Their combined record is 44-30. They've made 7 appearances in the Final Four, the most of any team who has not won a national championship. That's right. They're due. And tomorrow is the first step towards the first national championship in Cougs history. I even saw Hakeem Olajuwon talking about it and how this team deserves it and how Kelvin Sampson deserves it. And I agree with what they have done in such a short amount of time. If they can put the cherry on top, a national title, that's going to be so freaking awesome for this city. And I think everyone is allowed on the bandwagon. I get it. You know, like some people actually went to the University of Houston. But this is one of the very few schools in the country that plays inside a city. It's basically like the Cougs, there's USC, there's University of Washington. There's probably a couple other ones that are eluding me right now. But as far as schools that are located in major cities, I feel like the city's allowed to root for this one. And it makes a little bit more sense to be a bandwagon fan of this team than it does to be like, I don't know, a t-shirt fan of some of the other schools in town. Texas fans.
Oh, Paul, what? You're going after Texas fans right now?
Well, listen, I go after the Aggie fans all the time, too. We got to be equal opportunity haters, except for when it comes to our beloved Cougs. Rah, rah, rah! You know? Anyway, guys, Ted Cruz, I don't think he's ever worn or showed up for an important Cowboys game wearing Cowboys gear. Now, part of that might be because since 2013, or since whenever Ted Cruz first came into office, I don't think there's been, how long has he been in office? I'm assuming like 20 years or so. But I'm assuming that there just haven't been many important Cowboys games for him to attend. I think he only goes to championship games, and the Cowboys haven't been to a conference championship game since 1996. So with that in mind, guys, what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys, who stink? It's time for another edition of
playing with the boys.
I want me some glory help.
Prescott, he starts to come and then he pulls out.
How about them Cowboys?
R.I.P. Val Kilmer. What an iconic scene this was in Top Gun. Fantastic beach volleyball in your jeans. So, everyone's wondering what the Cowboys are going to do about Micah Parsons, who wants a new contract. And things are getting really, really ugly between the Cowboys and Parsons. I'm assuming a deal's still going to get done, because the Cowboys, they drafted a guy who's probably the best pass rusher in the NFL that's not a traditional, you know, defensive lineman, because the guy was drafted to be a middle linebacker and then he ends up being so good all over the field that you can use him in a variety of different ways. He's a great player. I've always enjoyed watching Micah Parsons play. Micah Parsons, the podcaster, I think unintentionally funny, but he and Jerry Jones are going back and forth, because Jerry Jones is pretending that he doesn't know who Micah Parsons' agent is in these negotiations. He's trying to negotiate directly with Parsons. And when he was asked about David Mulugeta, who is the most powerful agent in the NFL, Jerry said this: "The agent is not a concern here. I don't know his name." I can understand how an old school NFL owner hates NFL agents, but you can't do this if you're Jerry Jones. You gotta, if you want to get the best possible deal for your organization, you do have to play a little bit of grab ass, and Jerry knows this. So pretending you don't know David Mulugeta's name, like, how does that help you get a contract with Micah Parsons? There's no way it can. But that's what Jerry Jones keeps doubling down on. He believes that he needs to talk directly with Micah Parsons, and Parsons is not a fan of this. Parsons, who lives on Twitter, responded when Clarence Hill Jr. said that Jones is blatantly disrespecting David Mulugeta here. Micah Parsons reposted it saying, "Facts, David is the best, and I will not be doing any deal without him involved. Like, get anyone with good sense. I hired experts for a reason. There is no one I trust more when it comes to negotiating contracts than David." Yeah, I would too. He got Deshaun Watson paid. Deshaun Watson played like three games on that contract he signed with the Browns. "There will be no backdoors in this contract negotiation." Jerry, for his part, says that the Cowboys have offered Parsons the largest non-quarterback deal in NFL history and that they expect him to be at offseason workouts. We'll see if that happens. But it's been funny seeing the Cowboys talk about this, because in the past, Stephen Jones, son of Jerry Jones, has brought up that they waited too long when it came to negotiating an extension for Dak Prescott. Prescott has a huge season, so they give him a huge deal. Now they're acting like it doesn't matter how long this negotiation takes. Well, I don't know, Stephen Jones. I feel like you probably want to get this thing done as quickly as you possibly can, you know? More from Micah Parsons, who is probably going to at some point be an award winner on a segment that we do from time to time, the John Wall Award for Athlete Podcasting Excellence. Parsons had this to say about DeMarcus Lawrence calling him out for constantly living online. DeMarcus Lawrence now with the Seattle Seahawks, and said, "I left the Cowboys because they're never winning a Super Bowl there." Said Parsons, quote, "I think it's ridiculous. You watch the tape. There's no question I'm locked in. I'm actually giving my best effort out there on the field, which I think is all that matters. I have an obligation to be the leader of my family, to take care of my family. Nest to provide for them. I keep the main thing the main thing. But I like off-field adventures, too. Everyone has their selection of how they want to deal with things. Some people drink. Some people smoke. I like to tweet. I like to be active. I know about ball. I like to know what everyone else is doing. And that's just me. I don't drink. I don't smoke." It's very judgmental, Micah. "What I care about is the effort you give me on the football field. And that's something you can't question. I know I'm one of the best players, and as long as I'm performing that way, it shouldn't matter. when you jump off sides on the goal line. Is that because I'm tweeting? I think it's ridiculous. Outrageous. I just like that he's comparing tweeting to smoking and drinking. They are basically the same thing. So anyway, guys, to wrap up, this is the episode of Playing with the Boys. You know, the negotiations between the Cowboys and Micah Parsons not going so well, but the Cowboys might finally have a quarterback. Because guess what? The Dallas Cowboys have traded for Patriots quarterback Joe Milton. Yeah, that's right. The Joe Milton, who you might remember for having a couple of clips where he looks really athletic in the preseason. So the Cowboys, they send a fifth-round pick to the Patriots for Joe Milton. And now, quarterback controversy? I mean, definitely for the Cowboys now that there's no Cooper Rush as the backup to Dak Prescott, who, let's be honest, sucked. Now you got actually someone who's fun as the backup, who's as athletic as the backup, who's huge as the backup to Dak Prescott. So now if Dak Prescott struggles and the Cowboys struggles, you're going to actually have a real quarterback controversy. And this always goes back to how I believe that Jerry Jones believes all headlines are good headlines, especially if there's a quarterback controversy for the Dallas Cowboys. And that's perhaps more of a priority, being at the center of everyone's attention, than, you know, winning. Anyway, guys, it's the Paul Gallant Show. Most interactive sports talk show in Houston on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. That's Playing with the Boys, where we generally make fun of the Cowboys. Up next, Dana Brown did an interview this week on the Astros flagship and had some very interesting things to say about the Astros' leadership and perhaps the idea that there is a void in leadership. He also was asked about Jose Altuve's performance in left field and about the bats. We'll react to some of what he had to say next. Are you down with Dana Brown? It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.